You owe her any money?
No.
A cold-hearted attitude.
How many payments did you miss on the car?
5.
Well, then how can you say you don't owe her any money? Somebody had to make those payments.
And a kind heart is crushed.
I had no idea that my friend of over 10 years would do this. I mean, this is the type of person that I am. It may not necessarily make me the smartest person, but you know, she's my friend.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Carmen Honaker is suing her former friend, Tammy Holguin, for a car loan and missed car payments.
Order. All rise.
Yeah, that's case number 461 on the calendar, the matter of Honaker versus Holguin.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated.
Miss Honaker, you bought a car. You couldn't afford to keep the car. This is a friend of yours. She said she would take over the payments to the car. You let her take over the payments. Sort of sold her the car. I don't know why you people do that. And it was your understanding that she was going to take care of everything on the car, registration, everything else. Well, evidently, she didn't do that. She got pulled over for expired tags at some point. How long did you have the car when you got pulled over?
15, 16 months.
Got pulled over, and she also realized she didn't have a driver's license, so the car was impounded. You got the car out, and then you sold the car. You want her to pay a whole bunch of stuff, including the difference between the loan and what you sold the car for. I want to see the contract of sale that you had with Ms. Holguin when you made this deal with her. Now, the principal balance on the car as of April of 2009 was about $17,700. And you wanted to know in this letter when she was going to get insurance for the car so that you could cancel your insurance. She can't get insurance for the car.
She did.
How could she get insurance for the car, madam, if she doesn't have an insurable interest in the car? This isn't a contract of sale. You can't get insurance unless you have an insurable interest. Otherwise, I could take out life insurance on Officer Byrd here without him knowing about it. And maybe something terrible would happen to him. That's why you have to have an insurable interest in somebody or in something in order to take out insurance. So you can't take out insurance unless the car was titled in her name, which it wasn't. It was titled in your name because the loan was in your name.
Yes, the loan was in my name. Tammy and I have been friends over 10 years.
I don't care. Don't tell me your story. You want to tell a story, go someplace else. Understand what I just said to you. She can't take out insurance. She can pay for your insurance. That she can do. But she can't take out insurance on a car that you own.
She couldn't put it in her name. She asked me to keep it in her name because she said there was no way she could
get
it.
Are you not understanding what I'm saying to you? If you want me to believe this, she cannot get insurance on a car if she doesn't have an insurable interest in a car and the car was in your name. She was just paying off the note, according to you. Right?
I did get insurance as a driver.
Explain to me how you got insurance on this car.
I'm a driver on the vehicle, and as a driver in the vehicle, I had to have car insurance. So my insurance agent insured my vehicle.
Prove that to me.
I didn't bring any of the insurance papers with me.
You owe her any money?
No.
How many payments did you miss on the car?
5.
How many payments did she miss on the car?
5.
Did you drive the car or have it in your possession when you missed the 5 payments?
Yes, I did.
Well, then how can you say you don't owe her any money? Somebody had to make those payments.
We had an agreement when I did miss my payments that I would pay her the money back.
Well, that's what I said. So you owe her that money. Did you pay it back for the 5 payments?
No, I don't have the vehicle anymore.
I wasn't asking you whether you had it anymore. I'm asking you when you had it. Pay careful attention. Put on your ears.
Yes.
When you had the car in your possession, how many payments did you miss?
5.
That's what I said. You drove the car, it was in your possession, and you missed 5 payments. I'm not talking about after it wasn't in your possession anymore. Mm-hmm. What part of the smirk don't you understand? What do you do for a living?
I'm an HR manager.
You work for a company?
Yes.
Somebody works for your company, and they get a paycheck. And then all of a sudden, the company misses 5 paychecks. The employee quits and says, I'm not working here anymore. I don't get paid when I'm working here. And they sue you. The company says, well, you're not working here anymore. Why should we pay you? He said, because while I was working for you, you didn't pay me. What would be your judgment as an HR manager? That the company owes him the money for when they worked?
Yes.
Of course. Car was in your possession, you drove the car, you missed five payments. You don't have the car in your possession anymore because of you. Because you were driving a car without a license. How much were the car payments?
$360 a month.
Now, why did you miss the car payments?
I was having financial difficulty and was laid off.
So why didn't you return the car to her?
We had agreed that I would make up the payments to her once I got back on my feet.
In what month did you return to work?
I started back to work in April, end of April, 1st of May.
And in what month was the car impounded because you had no tags or registration or
August.
License? In August.
Correct.
Did you make your payments May, June, July?
I made it in May and June, yes.
But not July?
No.
Why?
I was late on making my payment. I had some financial issues I was catching up on.
Okay. So far she owes you $1,800. Now, how much did it cost to get the car out of impound?
I had to pay Bank of America $1,800 and
No, listen to me carefully.
Total?
How much did it cost? Listen to me carefully. How much did it cost to get the car out of impound?
The $1,800 for Bank of America were extra. These were not for missed payments. The payments were coming out of my account as auto pay, so I made the payments on time. The car was repossessed. According to Bank of America, when a car gets impounded for driving without a license and insurance, it is considered defaulting on the loan. And hence, Bank of America said, we therefore consider this loan to be defaulted on. And then I had to pay them $1,801 that
me.
I had to bring.
Show me.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
It never works out. Never. There are all kinds of scenarios that happen. None of them are positive.
And later today.
You already told me you called them twice. Once in August, once in September. You told me that right from the very beginning.
Yes,
so don't look all innocent to me.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Carmen Honaker says former friend Tammy Holguin bought an Infiniti G35 from her and stopped paying. Carmen is suing for the balance on the loan and missed payments.
Now, I'm going to make a statement to everybody out there who's listening. The dumbest thing after selling a car to a relative or close friend is entering into one of these kinds of arrangements where you allow someone else to take over your loan, having the car still in your name, and relying on that other person to do the right thing. If somebody were capable of financially supporting a car, they could buy a car. If they're not financially capable of buying a car, then you shouldn't put your car and your credit and your financial security in the hands of a stranger. Because if a car dealership wouldn't give them a loan, and they want to give everybody a loan, but if a car dealership wouldn't give her a loan, you shouldn't either.
It is on my credit report, which was at 800.
It'll be there for a very, very long
time.
Yeah,
for 5 years, they told me.
You know, not smart.
You know what, Your Honor? I'm a fraud prevention manager. What I do for a living is generally trying to help people. That's the person who I am. I had no idea and no thought that my friend of over 10 years would do this. I mean, this is the type of person that I am. It may not necessarily make me the smartest person, but you know, at the end of the day, she's my friend. She raises three kids on her own. She has an autistic son. You know, I wanted to help her. There was absolutely nothing in my mind
to
that
help
said-
her? You want to help her? Give her $1,000. Tell her to go get a secondhand used car that'll get her to and from where she wants to go and say, you don't have to pay me back. Here's the money. Goodbye. But you obligated yourself to this car. Now, there must have come a time when you could no longer deal with that obligation.
Yeah.
That you could have cut your losses in a different way. But what I found is, and I've done 50 of these cases, it never works out. Never. Because if they have the car for a year or two, they say, well, we're not going to continue to pay for the car. Now we can go get a loan and we can get a new car. They stop paying on the car. You're stuck with this old car. There are all kinds of scenarios that happen. None of them are positive. So listen up out there, all you millions of people. Don't buy a car that you can't afford. Don't buy a house that you can't afford. Don't buy a TV that you can't afford. Don't buy a diamond you can't afford. don't buy anything you can't afford, and then allow somebody else to ostensibly take over that obligation, you're always going to be disappointed. If you start out behind the eight ball, you're going to find yourself behind the eight ball and then some. She owes you $3,600, judgment for the plaintiff, that's all.
Bodies are excused. You may step out.
I don't agree with it, but she's the judge.
I'm kind of like stunned.
We just never could come to an agreement.
I lost over $6,000.
We're no longer friends.
Just because this ended the way it did does not necessarily mean somebody else might do the same, but yes, I'd be more careful the next time around. I don't think I would do it again.
Well, hopefully we can work it out.
I'm sad.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Polk versus Mitchell. Step forward.
Natasha Polk says former friend Faith Mitchell is to blame for her furniture being repossessed. She is also suing for the return of a bike and moving expenses. Faith is countersuing for her moving expenses.
Is this your daughter?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you ask her to leave, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. Ms. Polk, the defendant is a former friend of yours. It is your claim that she has some furniture that belongs to you. Defendant has a counterclaim. Bit of nonsense, but we'll get to it in a minute. What I've read in the complaint, Ms. Polk, is that you were evicted from your apartment, you and your family. How many people were living in your apartment at the time?
Two.
Who?
Myself and my daughter.
And you asked your friend if you could store some furniture at her house. Is that right?
That's correct.
You would purchase that furniture from whom?
Grand Furniture.
Where is that?
It's in Hampton, Virginia.
Had you ever purchased anything from them before?
No, ma'am.
How much was the furniture?
It was... Okay, the actual amount where it says balance due here from the statement.
Not balance due. How much was the furniture?
I don't have that paper in front of me. It totaled right at, I think about $2,500, $600.
Are you asking me? I don't know the answer to that question.
No, ma'am, I'm not asking you. I'm saying that's how much it was. I mean, I don't have the actual amount, but I do have them broken down.
When did you purchase it?
I purchased it in January of 2010.
And how many payments did you make on it?
From January, six payments.
And what amount?
$131.21.
And then you stopped paying for it?
Yes.
When were you evicted from your apartment?
August 6, 2010.
How many months were you delinquent at that time in furniture payments?
Three or four.
Had they sent you a delinquency notice?
Yes, ma'am, they did.
Did they enter a judgment against you?
Yes.
In what amount?
The judgment amount, I don't have that, but I know it was more than what the furniture was actually due.
Mm-hmm. Because your contract said if they had to sue you for the amount of money, they were going to add on costs and attorney's fees. Why did you stop making payments on the furniture?
I lost my job.
When you stopped making payments on the furniture, did they want to take it back?
No, because we were making arrangements.
You were making arrangements for what?
In order for me to keep the furniture since I had paid so much on it, and they understood how
you
much
I... You hadn't actually paid so much for it. You hadn't paid very much at all, considering what the interest was. You had made, according to you, six payments of $130.
Well, it was a lot to me.
I understand that, but it was not a quarter of what the furniture was because a lot of that was interest.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Grant Furniture has your furniture because you didn't pay for it.
No, that's not true.
You say it's not. I don't care what you say, Ms. Polk. Grant Furniture has your furniture because you didn't pay for it.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Natasha Polk is suing her former friend, Faith Mitchell, for the value of furniture and a bicycle and for moving expenses.
Now, when you got evicted from your apartment and you stored the furniture at your friend's apartment, did you tell Grant Furniture that your furniture was there?
Yes.
In what month did you tell Grant Furniture that your furniture was there?
In August. August and September.
What do you mean August and September?
Because the day that I moved it over there, I notified them that that's where it was. And then in September, because they had given me a call asking me, you know, what were my plans with it, you know, because I was trying to make the arrangements. I was waiting on my unemployment to start so that I could keep the arrangements that I had, but, you know, pay a substantial amount that they wanted me to pay.
Where's her furniture?
Grand Furniture has it.
What do you want from her?
I want the money.
You're not going to pay the money for it. Why would she get the money? Grant Furniture came and took their furniture back.
Well, she took it.
She didn't take it. Grant Furniture took your furniture back.
No, but she had it. She was holding it for me. I went to pick it up from her. She would not give it back to me.
That's not true, Your Honor.
So Grant Furniture has it, because of her. No. If I'd have had it,
Grant Furniture has it because she's
just a second. Miss Polk, Grant Furniture has your furniture because you didn't pay for it.
No, that's not true.
Yes.
They picked it up.
Listen to me. Mm-hmm. You say it's not. I don't care what you say, Miss Polk. Grant Furniture has your furniture because you didn't pay for it.
That's not true, Your Honor.
Well, I know you keep saying it's not true, Miss Polk, but Grant Furniture has your furniture not because you paid for it and they want to sell it twice. They came to get your furniture because you hadn't paid for it, and you didn't pay for it in June, you didn't pay for it in July, you didn't pay for it in August, you didn't pay for it in September, and they came and got your furniture. You can't sue her. She didn't have your furniture.
I spoke with them. She had it. We made arrangements so that I could come and pick it up. She had my furniture. She lied to me. She told me she was going to give me my furniture back. That was my furniture.
Miss Polk, where is your furniture now?
Grand Furniture has it, but when I talked to Grand Furniture, they told me that she called
just a second
to tell them to come and get it because she didn't have anywhere to put it, and she had thrown it out.
Listen to me very carefully. She owes you nothing.
No,
what you should have done, what you should have done, listen to me, what you should have done is...
I didn't call them.
You already told me you called them twice, once in August, once in September, and told them where your furniture was. You told me that right from the very beginning.
Yes,
so don't look all innocent to me. You took your furniture that you hadn't paid for, and instead of returning it when you were evicted to Grant Furniture because you hadn't paid for it, you took it to her house.
That's not how it went.
Just a second. Mm-hmm. You took it to her house. We're not talking about a year. We're talking about a question of 4 or 6 weeks. She has nothing to do with your furniture anymore. Grant Furniture came to get your furniture because you hadn't paid them. You have any proof that you paid them in August or September?
No, ma'am, I don't. She wanted to buy the furniture
Ms. Polk,
from me.
You don't have your listening ears on. She doesn't owe you for your furniture. Grant Furniture came back and redeemed the furniture because they weren't paid.
They didn't want it. They wanted money from me, which I was trying to make arrangements for.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
You have a counterclaim?
Mm-hmm.
You have 30 seconds on your counterclaim.
Because, Your Honor, just because of the inconvenience that she's put me through and she's lied to Grant Furniture.
You shouldn't have taken the furniture.
You're absolutely
correct.
Listen to
me. You shouldn't have taken the furniture.
But,
and I read your counterclaim, and your counterclaim said as follows. You took the furniture, and you said to her, I would like to buy your furniture for $200. Mm-hmm. The furniture she just recently paid, let's say $2,500 for. Mm-hmm. You wanted a bargain of $200.
I was trying to help her.
Just
no,
a second.
You weren't.
Helping
you
her,
were trying to steal
helping
it.
Her would have been what she owed on the furniture. $200.
I didn't have that.
Listen to me very carefully. $200 mm-hmm. for $2,000 worth of furniture is not helping her.
Mm-mm.
It's helping you.
Exactly.
Because she could have said, Deb, just, hey, be quiet. Your case is over. I'm now talking about her counterclaim.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, if you took the furniture and you had inconvenience,
mm-hmm.
you don't get paid for inconvenience.
I understand that, but she was sounding so pitiful. She acted like she didn't have a place for her and Courtney to go. So I offered that so at least she can find temporary residence. I knew I didn't have the whole amount, you know, but nevertheless, I still told her to come and get it. And one other thing, she has a bite that's still there. It's still at my house. She hasn't said anything about this bite. Is she coming to get it? Should I set it out? What should
bicycle?
I do?
Yes, I do. It's my daughter's. The
Just
day
a second.
I was supposed to get everything, she drove right past me.
Listen
she refused
to me
to
very
get
carefully.
It to me. And I have a recording.
Listen to me very carefully. Do you want your daughter's bicycle? She says she has it.
Yes.
Good. 5 days from today, make the bicycle available. If she's there at 10 o'clock in the morning, she gets the bicycle. Does she have to come with anybody, or is it okay if she comes
she can
by
come
herself?
Get it.
5 days from today. Do you understand? But you don't get paid for aggravation.
Okay.
Got it?
Got it.
That's all.
All right, thank you.
I excuse you, they step out. Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
I'm very satisfied. I think it was a good decision.
It was unfair.
I was just a good Samaritan, and everything I did went bad, went south.
That's a lie. She took advantage of me.
I've just been trying to be a friend to Natasha for as long as I've been knowing her, but that friendship has been difficult, and today was an excellent decision.
All of a sudden, she pulls this on me because she's angry because I didn't sell my furniture to her, so she took advantage of me, and she knows that.
She just called me that morning about 5 o'clock in the morning, told me she needed help. She had to be out by 1 that afternoon. I didn't know anything up until the day she got evicted.
I depended on her to help. Me. She said she was going to help me. This is what she does to me.
Her daughter and my daughter were good friends.
That's not a friend. That's a devil in disguise.
I think she just used me as an unwilling participant in her trying to steal the furniture from Grand Furniture.
It is what it is. Don't try to find niceness or kindness in anybody.
Never do it again.